I'd like to ask God's blessing on the message that his truth is revealed to all of us. Father God, just pray for your hand on this message that I trust that you put in my heart and my mind, and I pray, Lord, that it enter the minds and the hearts of these your people, and that your spirit fill all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Dave and I have been working on a series on the Holy Spirit for the last number of weeks. And I'm going to give you just a quick review of what we've covered so far. You'll see some blanks on your outline. And I'm just going to run through what were the main themes and a key verse for each week. This was about life in the Spirit. And this is what the Spirit does. And the first thing we had down was the Spirit adopts us. The Spirit adopts us. Look at the verse out of Romans 8. Paul writes, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of," and here it is, "adoption, as sons and daughters, by whom we cry, Abba," which is like saying dad, "Abba, Father." All right, and so we talked about adoption. Life in the Spirit, on the next one, life in the Spirit convicts us. That was the second part. It convicts us. Conviction about what is life and what isn't life. All that is life is God promises life in all its fullness. That's what the Spirit convicts us of. That's what life looks like. And when it's not life, when it's in a sense death, which is what sin is, well, that's what the Spirit convicts us that that's not life. We read in Psalm 139 where the psalmist says, "Search me, God, know my heart, test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me," and here's the point, "lead me in the way everlasting." Because that's what this life's about. And then the next one, the Spirit sanctifies us. We're cleansed in Christ and the Spirit strengthens us to live like Him, to be like Christ. Philippians 1:6 says it this way, "Being confident of this," Paul writes, "that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus," until the end of time. God is busy bringing about the goodness he wants us to live in. And then the Spirit, in the next one, anoints and empowers us so that we can live out the message of the gospel, a message of God's great love. We are anointed to be like Christ. Anointing was had to do with kingship. I'll talk a little bit more about that this morning. And we are then to witness, as verse talks about being a witness in Acts 1, to witness God's love to the world. Look at Acts 1:8, which was the key verse for that message, where we write here, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you," Jesus is saying this, "and you will be my witnesses," and then in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You are a witness to the gospel. And then as his anointed ones, the Holy Spirit then, in the next blank, gifts us. And we're gifted to serve and bless others. This is the mission of God that he calls us into. 1 Corinthians 12, a whole chapter on gifts, says this, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given," and here's the reason, "for the common good." We're gifted to serve and do good. And then today, and so here's the concluding message, today I want to conclude with this work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seals us. Seals us. Look at Ephesians 1. This is the key verse we're going to look at today. Ephesians 1:13 through 14, where Paul writes, "You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit," that's the seal, "who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." That's a rich verse. There's a lot of key words in that passage. And I'm just going to look at a few of them. When I was once with a Bible teacher going through Israel and Egypt and Jordan, one of the things that he often said was, when God speaks, and when it's about picture, picture, picture. And so in this verse, there's a lot of snapshot pictures of what this is all about. And so we're going to look at that this morning, some of these key images and key words. The first one is inheritance. How many of you are anticipating an inheritance from your parents or have received one already? Yeah. That was quick. Well, maybe you've read a bumper sticker on RVs that says, "I'm spending my children's inheritance." I think I read that on Chuck and Marg's RV, I think. And they, by the way, they are heading out soon for like 4 or 5 months or whatever of spending the inheritance. Anyway, that worked out really well. I read this story recently. Still living at home, bored and expecting to inherit a fortune when his sickly widower father died, Robert decided he needed a woman to keep him company. So he went to a single bar and he searched out until he spotted a woman whose beauty took his breath away. "Right now," she went to her and said, "right now I'm just an ordinary man," as he walked up to her. "But within a month or two, my father will pass away and I'll inherit over $20 million. Well, the woman went home with Robert that night. And 4 days later, she became his stepmother. No wonder they say some men never learn. Inheritance conjures up all kinds of things. Paul says to the Ephesians and to us, when you are in Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. It is an inheritance you don't have to wait to enjoy. You don't have to wait. It is one that covers the past, the present, and the future. It takes care of my old debts, my past sins, my past brokenness, a debt I couldn't handle. It was loaded on me. I couldn't cover it. And Jesus' death and resurrection frees me from that. And it allows me to live an abundant life right now, in the present. We can live life in all its fullness now and forever. And through the Holy Spirit, my inheritance is signed, sealed, and delivered. And like the song says, and if you're old enough, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm God's. It's done. I'm His. You're His. Paul uses the phrase "in Christ" a lot. He says it a lot in the letters. We can't perform our way into Christ. It doesn't work. It's through Christ that we simply receive the inheritance of life in the Spirit. And that life gets lived out by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And then in the entire second half of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Paul focuses on ways that we live in the Spirit, how it is lived out. But we simply receive it now and forever. It's guaranteed. We are His. We belong to God. In this church, we talk about belong, believe, become. We belong to God. And we believe that it is through Jesus because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And in the Spirit, we become and we reflect the image of God clearer and clearer. Belong, believe, become. That's what this is about. This is guaranteed and sealed by the Spirit. In Paul's day, important documents were sealed with wax and then they were imprinted upon. Sometimes happens nowadays too, but much less so. And it was with an identifying seal. And this was all about showing ownership. That seal showed who it belonged to. In Paul's day, you'd mark livestock. We'd call that a brand. Or even slaves were marked with a seal to show that they were somebody's property. They belonged to somebody. And this avoided theft, and this avoided arguments about who owned what. If you look at this one slide, I think I have a slide up there of all kinds of seals from the ancient world. Sometimes, they were cylinder sealed, and they were rolled. I could have put up there a bracelet. Sometimes there's a seal that would go around your arm here. But most often it was the ring. And then you would take that ring, you'd press in the wax, and you had your own specific symbol on there and say, okay, whatever I'm imprinting, this is mine, or by my authority I let something happen. But somehow the seal is really important. And Scripture says the Holy Spirit seals you. It identifies to whom you belong. It shows your true identity, and then that phrase, in Christ. And he says it over and over again, in Christ. When God looks at you, he looks at you through the lens of his Son, through the seal. And the Holy Spirit affirms what Jesus said on the cross. When Jesus cried out on the cross, it is finished. It's a done deal. Salvation has come. The kingdom is assured. Signed, sealed, delivered. We're his. We're his. And yes, it's also a down payment. Now we go into some banking terms in Paul's time. A down payment of what is yet to come. What's yet to come? Look at one of my favorite verses out of Revelations. Revelations 21. Last book in the Bible, speaking of a time then, but also of a time yet to come. And here, John hears this. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, and by the way, pay careful attention to the present tense language in addition to the future tense. Look, God's dwelling is now among the people. And he will dwell with them. I love this. You know, Jesus came. God's dwelling is with people. The Holy Spirit has come. And he will dwell with people. And then they will be his people. There's that sense of ownership there. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. And you see the future sense there too. Or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne is saying, I am making everything new. And so in a sense, it's new and being made new. It's all happening at the same time. And that's why we sort of find ourselves in between. You know, it is, we have life in all its fullness now, and yet it's somehow its fullness is being unpacked more and more and more. Now and yet to come, all things new and becoming new, guaranteed, sealed, as a deposit. In that verse, you may have caught that line in verse 14, it talked about the redemption of those who are God's possession. We see that ownership thing going on there again. Literally, if you translate it really, really literally, it was the redemption of the walk around. The redemption of the walk around. It was a reference to a practice of walking around the perimeter of a parcel of land that was being purchased. You bought some land. You go out and take a look at the land. You decide to throw a down payment on it. Then you throw the down payment down, and you walk around the perimeter of the property, basically showing everybody, I put the down payment down, it's mine. And he called that the walk around. Jesus had made the purchase with his life. The walk around has occurred. We're his. The deposit of the Holy Spirit is on us. And the Holy Spirit's presence is in our lives, guaranteeing life in all its fullness now and forever to come. It's kind of interesting, to me anyway, that the modern Greek word for the word deposit, that's translated deposit, has come to mean engagement ring. I love this image of the church being the bride of Christ. Look at just a couple of references that I to show that. Ephesians 5:25, Paul writes, husbands, love your wives. How? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. There's an image there of Christ being the husband, giving up his life for her, the church. Revelation 19, the wedding of the Lamb, Jesus is the Lamb. The wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride, the church here, has made herself ready. Fine linens, bright and clean, was given for her to wear. And fine linens here, one writer says, stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Our beauty is shown in what we do, the righteous things we do. And then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And you have this beautiful wedding imagery. I've done a lot of weddings. Always try to think of ways to drive home meaning. It's not often where you get to sit with or stand with people who make a lifelong promise. Right? It doesn't get a whole lot more profound than that in terms of human promises. And I know things can happen, but we all, when we're standing there, we mean it. We're making a lifelong promise. Sometimes in the ring ceremony, I'll use this verse out of the Song of Songs, what Solomon is claimed to have written, where one lover says to her other, to her lover, says, place me like a seal, here's that word, like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. This is about the seal again. This is about who you belong to. And when I have that couple stand in front of me, I make that reference. This is the seal we're talking about here. This ring. And you are saying to the other, whenever you look at it, you belong to me. And I belong to you. Look at that every time. Every time you remind yourself constantly of the seal, the promise, who you belong to. And Christ is saying that of the church. What I love about it is that these are often we promises. We tend to make I promises, individual promises. But these, in our individualistic culture, but this is about so much more. Christ is the bridegroom, and we, and I could point all the churches across the whole world, we are the bride. We are the bride. Hope Community is the bride. All Christian churches are the bride. And we have our hearts sealed with His love. Hearts that used to be stone are now flesh and blood hearts beating and burning with the love of Christ. Burning with a love that can't die. Burning with a love that can't be washed away or quenched. We're sealed. Sealed with the love of Christ. And then, one more thought about this seal. It's a seal that lets us live life with assurance and hope. Look at what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians here. Look at it with me. 2 Corinthians 1, 20-22. For no matter how many promises God has made, and I love this, they are yes in Christ. Christ is about yes, yes to life. And so through Him, the Amen, the so be it, is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set, and here we go, set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. I want you to take very careful note here. This is the work of the Spirit. This is the work of God Himself. It is His guarantee to give, not ours to earn. And I think this is incredibly important. Maybe you've had some lousy experiences with guarantees. A number of years back, I once bought, I can't remember what it was, furniture, some lamps, whatever, and there's some weird deal where if you kept the receipt and then this little guarantee, you could, for 3 years, you could bring it back and then you'd get some money back. Now, I'm not the most organized guy, but I thought, what? You're guaranteeing me some money back. So I took the receipt and I did all the things that you're supposed to do and I put it in an envelope and I had it on my desk. I didn't put it anywhere. I just left it on top of my desk for 3 years. And every time I looked at it, oh yeah, right. That's some money my wife doesn't know about. That's good. But you know, I thought, okay, here's, they guarantee I'm going to get some money back. And for 3 years, every once in a while, I'd be unpiling my desk. Oh, yeah, right. That's going to be some money pretty soon. 3 years. And finally that day came, and I went to the store, and it didn't exist anymore. It was a lousy guarantee. It was a lousy guarantee. It was worthless. It wasn't backed by anything worth that kind of trust. That's not the kind of guarantee we're talking about here. The guarantee we're talking about here is this one that's backed by God Himself, the creator of the universe. It's utterly trustworthy. This God who didn't withhold His own Son guarantees it. Triune God then sends the Spirit to, as a deposit. Look at the guarantee. Now, here's a problem. I mean, in that relationship that I had with the furniture store, I was willing to do my part, but they couldn't live up to their end. Maybe you feel that way with God. I mean, if one side breaks the deal, it's done, isn't it? You know, I didn't break the deal. The other side did, but it didn't matter. I mean, it was done. It's not intact anymore. And maybe for some of you, maybe you've done enough stuff that you go, I don't think God's guaranteeing me anything. I wouldn't guarantee me anything either. Maybe for some of you, say, you know what? My faith is, I'm even doubting some quite a lot. I'm not even sure sometimes what I believe sometimes. And you kind of say, you know, I'm sure God's done with me. I'd be done with me. Look at Luke. I know we've all read this many times, but I think it's important. I'm going to point out something that I think has struck me to the point of tears when I thought about it this week. Look at Luke 15 with me. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate. So this kid wants the inheritance, and he wants it before dad's dead. Talk about a little arrogant there. So he divided his property between them. Now long after that, the younger son got together all he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So life is really, really lousy. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and I'm starving to death? I will set out, go back to my father, say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm a deal breaker, right? I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And so he got up and he went to his father. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, ran to him, threw his arms around him. And the son immediately said to the father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. You notice here the father's not even listening. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened cow and calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. I'm sure many of you have read that story many times. The prodigal rightly defines himself as an unworthy son. In fact, not even worth calling him a son anymore. He's a deal breaker. The irony is this, the immensity of the grace and love of the Father, he only sees him as a son. And then he puts a ring on his finger, and not just any ring, he puts a signet ring on his finger. This isn't merely jewelry. Let me illustrate the significance of the ring. Let me jump back to the Old Testament. You know the story of Joseph, fancy coat, multicolored, annoys his brothers, tell them how awesome he is, how awesome they aren't. Eventually, they tire of him, they throw him in the pit, they sell him into slavery. The son becomes a slave. He's in prison. Life is awful. Eventually, he gets called out of prison because he can interpret dreams. He gets reinstated, and then we read this. Then Pharaoh, notice here, took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. And he dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command. There's the robe, there's the ring. In the story of the prodigal, there's the robe, there's the ring. When the father puts on the robe and the ring, he's not only welcoming his son back into the family, he's giving him authority. He's giving him responsibility. To be a co-ruler. He has the seal. We're not slaves anymore. We're sons, we're daughters. Adopted sons and daughters, anointed, sanctified, empowered, and gifted sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who we are. And don't get me wrong, you may feel like a worthless son and a worthless daughter sometimes. You may doubt that the guarantee still stands, but it does. Because it's a work of the Father. And here's the deal. We are sealed. But sealed not just so that we're identified. Yeah, that's part of it. But we are sealed and therefore we get to live with authority. We get the signet ring. We actually get to act. What kind of actions? Look what Paul writes in Ephesians 2:10. We are God's handiwork. He's doing this work. Created in Christ Jesus. Why? To do good works, which God prepared in advance, long before the world even began, for us to do. You've always been in God's mind to do what you are made to do. You have the ring. You have the seal. You are equipped. You are anointed. You are empowered. You are sanctified. That's who you are. It's not your work. But you're made to do good work. Rest assured, even when you have your doubts, even when you're not so sure about you, rest assured you are a son, you are a daughter of the King of Kings. This is sealed and guaranteed by God Himself, sealed and guaranteed with His Spirit. This is who you are. You don't have to earn it because you can't. But you are equipped and empowered to serve and bring about and live in concert with the kingdom builder. That should get you thinking for the rest of the day. It really should. You should put that on your mirror. I'm anointed. I'm sealed. I'm sanctified. I'm gifted. Put it around your mirror. You see that face squared in there. Remember who you are even when you doubt it. And then go in His name with His presence, with His power, and live out who you were made to be. You are sealed to engage in the work of love and grace to this world God so loves.